Hi, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics, your automatic way of thinking, your automatic way of being, and your automatic way of doing. Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption are bringing you a special edition where we're interviewing world-class speaker and best-selling author, Nance Rosen.
I want to bring in Nance Rosen into the conversation just because I know she's on the line. Can we bring her into the line? Hey, Nance.
You can hear me. I can hear you.
I can hear you. We have Nance Rosen.
Hi, Nance.
Hey.
Nance, by the way, this is a distinguished guest here, Will. She is she was named by CNBC as its top job coach. Investors Business Daily featured her in its Managing for Success column. Over 420 media outlets have featured Nance on a number of business topics such as business communication, personal branding. I guess this would make it 421 media outlets. She has 4.5 million people reading her blogs and her books. So, Nance, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Welcome.
Super happy to hear you guys. I've really loved the show from the very top. I love the idea that you're comparing and contrasting business to our lives as citizens of the United States. I love the conversation of, you know, is athletics a parallel case to the boardroom? I thought it's brilliant that the point made about no boardroom is being broadcast live.
Right.
The way athletics are, and there's a whole lot of things that change in terms of speech when you have the feeling that the whole world is watching.
Right. Mm.
And so, of course, when the athletes get to make a statement and take the risk of doing so, pretty brave, pretty amazing, and really makes a statement for so many of us who are in some manner disenfranchised, which is people of color, women, and so forth.
Absolutely. And Will, who said hi to you, Nance, is the founder of the online magazine Abernathy, which is for black men.
You can read too, Nance. I won't tell.
Thank you.
Nance, let me ask this question because I asked Will the same question.
Sure.
Why is it in business that we can actually have, we're encouraging, you know, I was talking about continuous improvement. That's like a popular approach and mindset in business, right? Teams come together to challenge the status quo. I mean, folks like you, folks like me are hired to come into a business and disrupt what's not working. Leaders actually will say, you know, good isn't good enough. Why is it on social and cultural issues we have such a challenge?
Largely because the difference between being an employee or being management in a business is completely different than almost any other venue. What happens in business is arguably we are all financially incented to reach one shared mutual goal. So if I have a lever like a promotion or 10 grand a year or certain perks or just keeping your job,
right,
any given economic environment. So if I can incent you, pain you or make you happy because we have this shared goal and it's called corporate objectives and it's got money involved and market share and all that, great, then I can make you do it. But when you go home, you know, as soon as you get in your car,
right,
you have very little, if any, shared mutual goals with anybody else on the planet. And you might have some shared mutual goals with your family, maybe
right,
with your friends, but certainly standing next to a black man, a black woman, a white woman, an Asian woman, if you are enjoying the privilege of white superiority, then your goal is necessarily different than Will's and mine.
Got it. Nance, will you hang on? Can you stay on? We're going to take a quick break. Can you hang on for a few minutes? And I want to ask you a couple more questions. And I have a question I want to ask Will as well when we come back. Does that sound good? Okay. For the Global Tribe of Disruptors out there, send in your online comments. You can also call in at 212-650-6903. Here's a question for you. Where are you not exercising your First Amendment for yourself? Where are you not speaking up in your life? Where are you hiding, if you will, and what's the cost?
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be...
All right, Global Tribe of Disruptors, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. You're on WHCR 90.3 FM, WHCR.org as well if you want to watch and listen. We're talking about, is the First Amendment under siege? The Dudes of Disruption, Coach Nick podcast, is ranked number 12 as of this morning. So thank you for your support, Global Tribe. Keep listening. Keep sharing it. Keep disrupting. We've got Will Jackson in the studio. We have world-class speaker Nance Rosen. Nance, I want to ask Will a question. I'm not sure if you heard this. Earlier. I offered a perspective. I said, one of the reasons that I think people are afraid of the First Amendment or get uncomfortable when folks exercise their First Amendment is because they fear the unknown. They fear change. Often when we're exercising the First Amendment, often, not always, but often, we're disrupting the status quo, right? And so, and many times people would rather conform, even if it's in a relationship at home or in a career that's not going so well. You know, what's the saying, the devil you know is better than the devil that you don't know, right? So that was one perspective of what may be going on in the background. And I wanted to ask Will, and then you could weigh in as well after Will responds. Will, what do you think is going on in the background as a Black American? Because you and I had a conversation, and you offered a pretty interesting perspective.
Sure. So I think Nance was spot on in pointing towards the fact that there is a shared set of goals and objectives in corporate America in particular.
So, yes.
There are notions of tribalism and togetherness that reinforce those behaviors. Separately, we don't have to get into this, but that environment rewards men like us coming in and disrupting things, right?
Patriarchy
is rewarded
right. In
American business. So setting that aside, you know, notions of First Amendment and founding fathers are really curious in this light, particularly from a social justice perspective, because when we're talking about the Constitution, we're talking about the same Constitution that denied women and Black folks the right to vote, like at its outset. So, you know, three-fifths clause, like
right,
the roots of Black men needing to fight for our rights in particular goes back to the days of the founding
sure.
fathers.
So all men were not actually created equal?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Right.
And so, you know, that legacy remains with us. The reason these athletes over time have felt compelled to speak up is because they're trying to fill in the gaps for a promise that the government is not delivering on. There is a reason that there is this unrest from the social justice world, and it's because a lot of Black Americans feel like the government has not been keeping its promise about the American dream.
Nance, what do you say about that?
Well, 100% with you, Will, and I don't think that we can be blunt enough. It's not that Black Americans or any minority group or women feel like there isn't equality, feel like our voices aren't welcome, much less heard. It's not that we feel that. It's that we see that. We have evidence of that.
Right.
You know, there are, I think, three women CEOs in the Global 2000. You know, there's an equally paltry number of Latinos, you know, people of color in any way. It's not a matter of feeling it. We are living in it. And, yes, the roots of our Constitution are, you know, well, you're three-fifths of a human and I don't exist. So if that is the foundation, can you imagine joining a company, Nick, where you're the only guy that has a full vote?
Right.
Will's got three-fifths and I got nothing.
Right. And that's why
I have to say in my career, which is long and storied, I mean, I've been at Coke, I've been at, you know, the Global 2000. I've been in startups. I got to say, none of this discrimination has ever happened to me. So that it is happening all around me but does not happen to me in my world means there is a type of communication that you can have with people who are resisting your message that will not just win them over, but really create a whole new attitude.
You're
not trained in that kind of communication.
Right. Nance, when you said, if I had a full vote, Will had 3/5 of a vote, and you didn't have a vote, how would I feel? Again, in working inside of companies, right, I get hired to work inside of companies to do leadership development, corporate culture engagement work, team dynamic work. The leaders inside of those companies would say, that doesn't work. The leaders inside that company would say, we need people to speak up. I mean, I actually do experiential activities that honor and encourage disruption. It's actually celebrated to be the disruptor. I mean, respectfully and responsibly, obviously. And leaders that I work with inside of businesses get so turned on when they have people who are speaking up. And, you know, I wrote an article once called Leadership at All Levels, where regardless of who you are, you know, whatever your title or role is, or how long you've been in the company, or what your pay scale or title is, that everybody relates to their business like they own the joint, right? Yet, when it comes to cultural and social issues, you're encouraged to conform, it seems like, more often rather than voicing your opinion or your perspective, especially when it's inconvenient.
Well, because we can, in a corporate environment, pretend that the values or the rules that are in place as of this management theory or this year's theme. You know, I always say when I was at Coke, it was one year it was run with the wolves, and the next year it was sleep with the sheep. And neither of those, not true, but
right.
You know, it sort of felt like that. It was like, oh wow, this year's initiative is, you know, and then, you know, sort of on or about February, like New Year's resolutions, people go back to whatever it is they're doing. And so, but in a sense, corporate governance is almost like states' rights. It's a very small portion of the 7 billion of us, I think there are, on the planet, right? So, but when you get off the corporate planet,
right,
you get off that, and the rules are in place where you have to listen, where you have to speak up. So when you get into society, you are in many ways naked. You don't have the badge of the corporation or the business you're with, you don't, or the school you're associated with. You don't have that. I worked with a guy at Coke, one of the very few black men in leadership positions, and I had the joy of having him as one of my managers. And he said, you know, and he flew to California to talk to me about the business, and he said, you know, when I'm at Coke, I am fully respected.
Right.
But when I go to the mall in Atlanta or Buckhead, and the same guys see me, and I'm in the mall, and I got a, you know, ball cap on, I got my wife, got my kids, they don't even say hello to me. They look away from me. And I think that when you have a constitution, which I greatly love and believe in, but when you have a constitution that has minimized a group of people,
right,
when you have the rise of a hater and a racist and a sexist and an anti-immigrant guy who loses the popular vote by 2 million votes like Trump did and has, and you have this guy calling a Latin American Miss World or whatever pageant he owns Miss Housekeeping because she's Latina. Mm-hmm. Come on, you know, leadership. The kinds of leadership that you're talking about, disruptive, inclusive, that has to come from the top.
Yes.
And it doesn't. It doesn't in our society.
Does it have to come from the top? You know, the song that I played right before the break was "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised." And, you know, part of what that song is about is that the revolution takes place in your mind, everyone's mind, really, you know, at all levels. And once you change your mind and decide that there's something wrong that you want to impact, that's when the revolution takes place. It's not about going to war or being violent. It's about going to war with the problem and deciding that you actually can be the solution. You can impact that problem. When you want to make something better, that's when you become a revolutionary.
But really, who wants to make something better? I mean, this is the point, Nick, and it's very difficult to get it across to people who are in power. I'm somebody in power. I'm somebody who has access. There's nobody in the world I can't call, nobody who won't take my call.
Right.
Right. So you know, I'm speaking on behalf of a constituency that I am in some manner not a part of.
Okay.
So when you have this desire to speak up, would a rural white man say, and especially now that we know the kind of conditions, the loss of income, you know, the stagnation that these people feel, the anger that they feel, is that white guy in the outer boroughs of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, is he thinking, you know what's really missing? Equality for women, Asian people, Latin people, Black people.
Right.
That's not his agenda at all. In fact, nobody around him, near him, above him, beyond him, below him, nobody has that agenda.
Well, you made Will laugh. Will, what has you laughing?
I just love everything you're saying. Please continue.
Are you talking about me or Nance?
I'm talking about Nance.
Why do you love what Nance is saying?
Well, it's true. It's true. Like, you can't just speak to the psychographic, the demographic. You have to speak to the psychographic. What is the mindset of the person who might be thinking these thoughts? I'm not going to jump in anymore, Nance. Please continue. But I'm just thrilled that you're walking us through the mindset of people who don't share our perspective.
And I judge everything because I teach global marketing and I speak to managers and I all over the world, right? So I've seen marketing plans from every kind of company and every kind of place. There's, you know, when I was at Coke, I ran 190 countries around the world. I didn't know there was more, but there's more. Anyway, you have to ask yourself when you're introducing a product or concept, you have to say to yourself, what does that person that we're targeting, what does that person wake up in the morning
right.
and desire?
Right.
So what white woman, white man, person who has any other agenda on their mind, did they wake up and say, I wonder if Nick and Will and Nance feel fully enfranchised today?
Right.
If you're trying to feed your kids and you don't have clean water, which is the rural white condition, and Flint, Michigan,
right?
When you have people who are in desperate circumstances, they want someone to tell them that the radical change is coming is one that favors them, not one that favors a culturally diverse country, because nothing is better than when all of our brains are working together. That's not the thought they wake up with.
I agree with that. That's not the thought. I don't think that's the thought. And I have an online comment here from one of our listeners, Anissa. She says, I completely relate to Nance. She has hit it on the head! Exclamation point. Boy, you're gaining fans in the disruption land, Nance. And Mr. Will here continues to have a big smile on his face.
Listen, Nick, we're on radio. You can't tell everybody what's on my face. I'm enjoying myself.
Nance, let me ask this question, and Will, please jump in as well. And for the folks online watching and listening, I agree that people are waking up and thinking about what's in it for me right now. How do I take care of my situation? Take care of my interest. How do I get clean water? How do I put food on the table? Because you have lots of Americans in this country who are not benefiting from new jobs that have been created or from whatever economic boom that has taken place, right? How do we create an environment, and I don't mean this like a bumper sticker, but how do we create an environment where there's a win-win paradigm, where we think about the global game that we're playing? The global game includes everything from equality to race, to economic equality, to education reform, food reform, environmental reform. How do we get everyone to play that game so that, because by the way, if we can win all of those games, I got some good news for everybody. We're included in that. Each individual gets included in that conversation. But how do we get people to think about, like, very much like athletes, right? a coach gets a team to start playing at a different level when he gets the team, the individuals on the team, to get focused on playing as a team to win the championship. Because when they win the championship individually, they'll get more endorsements, they'll get more gigs, they'll get a bigger contract, a better contract. What do you guys have to say about that? How do we get people to play a bigger game?
You cannot fire people in rural America. You cannot fire suburban white women who voted for Trump, even though he grabs women by their genitals once he's taken a Tic Tac. And what those two have in common, I have no idea, but apparently in his mind, they do. Maybe he thinks the Tic Tacs a turn on. I really think the guy just has no game. Because if you're a billionaire and you got to grab someone by their genitalia in order to, I don't know, get their attention, you know, there's definitely something wrong. There's something wrong there. So what is Trump famous for? He's very famous for two words, which may be, as we have seen from his tweet, maybe the highlight of his vocabulary. And the two words are, you're fired.
Right.
So if a guy on a team, and I played basketball at the all-city level, so if someone's on a team, whether it's a guy or a gal, someone's on a team and they are not getting with the team spirit, the team goal,
right?
Unless they're like Kobe Bryant, who was the least team-oriented human that ever played basketball, right? So unless you're the player, unless you are the franchise, you get fired. Even Steve Jobs got fired from his own company because he wouldn't play ball. So you can't fire Republican women. You can't fire rural white people. You can't fire Cubans in Miami who were definitely not going to vote for someone who was, in essence, populist, as the late, great Castro was. So we are brought together in this diverse democratic experiment that's called America.
Right.
And we have no single unifying goal because the Constitution no longer matters. It has been trampled on. You have Mike Pence, who is going to want to electrocute gay people again to try and convert them. You have forced burials of fetuses. This is, when you look at the First Amendment, Nick, this is in such profound violation of what we are meant to do. So when you have those folks, and then you have Mrs. Clinton saying, you know, we really do need to get everybody jobs.
Right.
Right? So you have people who are, rural America didn't think that she meant them.
Correct.
Right? They necessarily thought that Clinton was going to try and win on the votes or the backs of the minority community.
Yes.
And if you're for the minority community and I'm white, you're not for me. You know, that immigrant is my, that minority member is my enemy because we are competing for the same jobs.
Right.
We are competing for the same social benefits, which, by the way, largely go to white people. You know, so all the people that are up for change and are angry about social programs, boy, are they going to be surprised when their throats get cut, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, exactly. Global Tribe,
Trump's administration.
Global Tribe of Disruptors, you've been listening to Nance Rosen. She is the author of Speak Up and Succeed. She has certainly been speaking up, Will. Would you say so?
I like you, Nance.
Right?
I like you too, Will. I do.
Nance is good people. She has a new book called Million Dollar Personal Branding Guide, How to Avoid 10 Killer Mistakes and Live the Life of a Million-Dollar Personal Brand. Nance, thanks for being a friend of mine, a friend of the show's. Will you come back again, please?
You betcha. And in fact, if anybody wants to go and get a free book, it's How to Take Control of Any Conversation and Avoid the Killer Mistake of Improvisation, just sign on to MyMillionDollarBrand.com. MyMillionDollarBrand.com. Happy to send you a report. Change your life when you change the way you speak to people.
Thank you, Nance. Global Tribe, we'll be right back after this quick break.
You've been listening to a special edition of Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. You can listen to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption live every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern on WHCR, WHCR.org, and 90.3 FM. And the Dudes of Disruption and Coach Nick podcast drops every Monday on iTunes and Podomatic.